The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yeah, I'm just filling in for the day and delighted to be here. Yeah, I see last night, before we get to our first guest, one of the big sort of business events a year is the IBEC annual dinner, introduces the new president. It's called the President's Dinner. So who rocks up? Surprise, surprise. Taoiseach Simon Harris. And he, the first thing he said was, he is sticking to his commitment that the coalition will serve its full term. Right. The next general election would take place next year if it runs its full term. Actually, the 22nd of March. Hey, totally ignore that. The prospect of five January by-elections, it ain't going to happen. It would be an act of self-harm in relation to people in tents, people in trolleys in January. Leo learned this lesson. He called the election on the 14th of January 2020. The government got it in the neck. No, I'm expecting a budget Tuesday, the 1st of October, the Dáil dissolves sometime a week later with either a 21 or 28 day campaign, no later than Friday, the 15th of November. And it could be the 8th or it could be the 1st, depending on which option they go for. No, Simon. Now, why is he doing this? I mean, like, apparently when he first met Micheál and Eamon, they asked him to give a commitment he'd run the full term, and he did that, and he feels honour-bound to it. But everybody has changed their mind about that. And to persist with it, all he needs to say is, look, I'm Taoiseach. The election will be held sometime in the next 6 months. I'll pick the time that best suits me, my party, and my partners in government. End of. And I'll be back to you. But he probably feels the minute he opens up the speculation, he'll become a lame duck Taoiseach, a lame duck administration. He's actually wrong in that assumption. He can carry on as normal. But the pretense that we're going to have a March election is just, he's hoisting himself on his own petard. Now, two or three interesting stories emerging across the pond in America. And it's a great pleasure, as always, to be joined by Larry Donnelly, of course, fresh from the Kennedy Summer School. I saw him waxing lyrical, as he always did. Law lecturer at the University of Galway, UCG, and also columnist with the Journal. Because this horrific story of Colt Gray, 14 years of age, fatally shooting two students, two teachers. He has been held in detention in Georgia, but it transpired that his father, Colin, gave him the gun. We also have stories about Hunter Biden overnight and a plea bargain. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Ivan.
Well, what do you make of this story? I mean, surely, you know, the father had the license for the gun. He's equally culpable giving it to a 14-year-old.
Yes, well, he is being charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree murder, 8 counts of cruelty to children. I think that's entirely appropriate for the reasons that you outline. But this incident, Ivan, is just the latest in you know, what is an undeniably sick gun culture in the United States. I think it's amplified on this occasion because this kid is just 14 years old. And indeed, there was an incident last year where he was making threats online about a school shooting, and he was using the Russian translation of the name of the person who perpetrated the horrific massacre at Sandy Hook School a number of years ago. The police and authorities didn't have enough to go on then, but certainly this is a very young, troubled young person, evidently growing up in a very difficult family environment. And into all of that, you have a father who introduces guns, and not just guns, very, very high-powered weaponry into the situation. And the sad but, I suppose, uplifting thing at the same time is that this would have been infinitely worse had the school not had in place a very high-tech system to deal with just this kind of situation, and had the students at the school not been so well-trained to deal with school shootings. And what does that say about us American schools, that the emphasis isn't on maths or English or history? The emphasis all too often is keeping kids safe from weapons of war like the one this 14-year-old had.
Like, it's not as if, you alluded to this, more than a year ago, the alleged shooter, this Gray fella, was interviewed by Georgia police after they received tips about online posts threatening a school shooting. So it wasn't like they didn't get a warning. I mean, how insane is it to have in his household automatic rifles?
It's beyond insane. And I think that's why it's entirely appropriate that the father is being charged. And I sincerely hope that they throw the book at him, that he goes to prison for a long time, because he is in many ways the person who is ultimately responsible for this horrific crime. Look, this young person, just 14 years old, tried to, you know, listeners, try to wrap your heads around that, especially the parents of young children like I am. Try to wrap your heads around the fact that a 14-year-old could pull off this act, kill two beloved teachers, two of his fellow schoolmates. It's beyond thinkable. And the sad part of this, Ivan, is that the reaction will be the same. Kamala Harris has indeed called for a ban on assault weapons. She called for reasonable gun restrictions. Trump has simply said that this young person is a monster. J.D. Vance has said something similar, but they are steering clear of the gun control issue. And the saddest part of this for me is that this will not change anything. It will not, you know, produce new gun control legislation. It will not even produce sane restrictions like background checks. It will be the status quo, and the NRA banks on this because people forget and we just move on.
And is this a feature of the American Constitution, the right to bear arms? Is it the Second Amendment or something like that? What is the story there? Are Capitol Hill free to legislate to change gun control?
Well, there is a right to keep and bear arms, and that has been, you know, that has been interpreted in a certain light by courts down the years, including this conservative United States Supreme Court. However, there still is plenty of leeway to, for instance, ban assault weapons. They were banned for a number of years. That ban lapsed. There is room to do that, because let's not forget, when the Constitution was drafted, we were talking about things like muskets and single-shot rifles. We weren't talking about, as I say, weapons of war that can fire multiple rounds in just seconds. So there is room for maneuver on this, but the reality is that the NRA, the National Rifle Association, is an extremely powerful political lobby in the United States, and politicians run scared of it. And I'll put it to you this way, Ivan. Harris may raise this in the debate that's coming up on Tuesday night, but I suspect lots of her political people are saying, look, don't go near the gun control issue. The people who want gun control are already with you. The only thing you can do with gun control is risk alienating some of the voters in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, who you need to convince to get on side if you're going to win this election. Such is the depths of the gun culture in the United States.
We'll come to that Tuesday night's debate in Philadelphia in a moment. But the other story is Hunter Biden, who's no longer a political target because Joe isn't standing. And maybe this story would have got a lot more coverage if Joe was still the candidate. Hunter Biden has pleaded guilty to failing to pay $1.4 million of taxes. And he went through a period in relation to drugs and so on. The plea hearing has been put back to the for sentencing on the 16th of December, well after the election. What's your read on this in terms of, obviously he was something of a political liability. Is he likely to do jail time?
Well, the first thing to say is I think it isn't it remarkable how things can change? If Joe Biden were still the Democratic candidate for president, this would be the lead story in every newspaper and every TV news bulletin in the world. However, because Biden is gone, it is now relegated to something of a second or third page story. Look, Hunter Biden, at least in theory, between his own gun charges and the tax now conviction, could face up to something around 40 years in prison. Now, it's extremely unlikely he'll get anywhere near that. But, you know, it's hard to know exactly what type of sentence he might get. You know, some are saying that it's in the vicinity of 3 years. Others are saying that it is unimaginable that he will actually get prison time, given that his father is president of the United States, given who he is himself, that something like probation, house arrest, and a hefty fine are more likely. These are all in the hands of judges now at this stage. But look, I think it's clear, and based on his lawyer's advice, Hunter Biden must be presuming that it's either going to be a very short sentence or no sentence at all. Otherwise, he went in yesterday saying, look, I want to plead guilty but not expect any culpability. And the prosecution said, no, wait a second here. You have to accept culpability. And he immediately flipped. So that tells me that he has some expectation that it's highly unlikely that he'll do any actual prison time.
Finally, big showdown, first debate, serious debate, Trump-Harris, Tuesday night, Philadelphia. It's been in the diary a while. They've agreed that Queensbury rules, the microphones will be switched off when, you know, they're not expected to answer. So there won't be the badgering that Trump did before with Hillary and with Biden. You know, when he said, would you ever shut up, man? What are you expecting?
Well, I don't know what to expect, really. But what I will say is that for the two candidates, I think the following things are important. For Trump, I think he needs to appear sane throughout the debate. I think he needs to remember that he's not just talking to his base. He's talking to floating voters who he needs on side. And he needs just keep hammering away on three things: inflation, immigration, and Harris being too far to the left. If he can keep on message, he will do very well. Harris, on the other hand, who in this context is pretty untested, this is going to be a huge thing for her, and how she comes through this debate may determine her chances of winning. But I think, look, she needs to keep hitting on the point that we can't go back. Trump is too risky. We can't go down that rabbit hole. I think some of her policies, like middle income tax cuts, taking on grocery prices to combat inflation, some of those things I think she needs to lead on. But the last thing, I think this is kind of intangible, and of course there's an element of misogyny and perhaps sexism in her appearance, in her debate. She needs to be likable. And I hate to say that, but there is an issue there, and it has surfaced in her past presidential campaign. She needs to be a likable, articulate, capable messenger and appear that way and speak well when she is put on the spot, because these have been challenges for her in the past. But ultimately, she needs to convince enough Americans that, look, a second Trump term is just too big of a risk to take.
And she's really untested. I mean, like, you know, in her VP role, she was low profile. She hasn't come through, you know, primaries and sort of knockdown, drag-out fights. She had a coronation. A lot of Americans don't know her that well. Do you think she'll, like, in one way it's hers to lose, but the more she looks like winning, the more scrutiny she'll come under?
Absolutely. These are all the great unknowns. There's no question that the race has been flipped on its head. No question that she and Tim Walz have the momentum. But on the flip side, she is, as you say, untested. The first interview wasn't really that big of a test. She did okay in that. How she does on Tuesday night is really going to shape the contours of this race from here on in. Republicans are pretty confident on that front because they think she'll be weak. Whether she can rise to the occasion and do some of the things that I've just outlined, it's a great unknown. That's why I think so many of us are going to be tuned in and enthralled, despite the fact that it'll be the middle of the night Irish time on Wednesday morning, indeed, to see how it all goes.
Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at UCG and a columnist with the Journal. Thank you, as always, for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.